Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the teacher. Dear listeners, today in this show, we're going to be talking about the concept of imama. Imama or imamat means leadership. And it is not only a concept, but a system in Islam. The 12 imams are the spiritual and political successors to Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah. According to Islamic theology, the successors to Prophet Muhammad are infallible human beings. They rule justly over human beings and maintain and interpret Sharia, which is Islamic jurisprudence, and undertake the esoteric interpretation of the Quran. The words and deeds of Prophet Muhammad and the Imams guide the humanity. For this, the imams must be free from error and sin and chosen by divine decree known as Nas through the Prophet. In general, the following conditions are vital for an imam. So in this particular show, we're going to start to look at some of the conditions that the imam, the infallible, the divinely appointed imam, must have. Number one is infallibility, or being free from sin and error. Number two, overflowing with knowledge. Number three, courage. Number four, austerity. And number five, ethical or moral attractions. Please note that it's not only limited to these qualities. There are several other qualities that can be discussed. Before this show, we have selected these five qualities to discuss with you. So today, let's discuss the concept of infallibility in Islam and how we claim that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like other prophets of Allah, were infallible, and just like all of the prophets were infallible beings, the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, the 12 divinely appointed Imams, the successors of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are infallible as well. Well, first of all, we need to understand the purpose of prophethood and the purpose of imamat, which is nothing but the continuation of prophethood. Yes, the prophethood officially ended with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the purpose and the goal of prophethood, which is to guide the humanity towards felicity, it still remains. So the imams, the imamat, it actually continues that mission, right? Then we need to understand another concept, which is levels of infallibility. Brothers and sisters, every time we refrain from committing a sin that we know has been qualified to be a sin by Allah, we are to a certain level infallible in that particular case. So all of us, to an extent, possess that infallibility. It's just that when it comes to prophets and imams, that infallibility is at its max. Now, also, if we were to talk about the infallibility of imams, we need to see that what is that people are compelled to, what are those factors that compel people to commit sins? Now, an imam or the prophet, they're free from those inclinations, those evil desires. If, let's say, that they had those desires and they let those desires grow and commit a sin, and then they turn around and tell us not to sin, that would, God forbid, be qualified as hypocrisy, right? Plus, there will be trust issues. If we don't know when the imams sin or the prophets sin, how can we trust their words? We're going to go for a break, and once we come back from the break, we're going to continue talking about the infallibility of the imams.
Shiite views of the infallible Imams, in the words of Dr. Chris Huer.
Well, the Imams then are seen to be people who not only have the revelation from God, but also they are the ones who implement that in political and in practical ways within the community. Just in the same way, if we think back to the Quranic story about Moses, we know then that Moses says to God that he needs a co-worker. And his brother Aaron, Harun, is declared to be also a prophet. And he is to be the wazir. He is to be the co-worker, the minister, the one who will lead the community after Moses. In the same way, we see that Jesus gathers around him an inner circle under the leadership of Simon Peter, and that he will lead the community after the time of the prophet Jesus. Now let's take that model forward and look into the time after Prophet Muhammad. In sheer understanding, human beings need not only a guide, but an infallible guide. A guide who is sinless and without error, so that we have the presence of someone who will help us to put the teaching into practice in a perfect way, without any confusion, without any error. If we didn't have such guides, then we would necessarily go astray. And if that was the case, God would be unjust. God would fail to give us the necessary guidance to live in a godly way. So it is a logical part of the system of God's justice and mercy that God will provide sinless, infallible guides to guide the rest of humankind. Who needs them? Well, all human beings need them. The whole earth needs this kind of guidance. Therefore, in sheer understanding, from the time of Adam onwards, the earth has never been without a sinless, infallible guide to guide the masses of humankind in a godly direction, and it will continue this way until the end of human life upon earth, with the last of these imams, the last of these spiritual guides, being Imam al-Mahdi.
IRIB English Radio. Email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام الأنبياء أنت في الوجدان حي أنت للعينين ضي أنت عند الحوض
Welcome back, dear listeners. Before we went on to the break, we were discussing the concept, or rather the system of imamah, and we said that the imam, the divinely appointed imam, is free of sins, of committing sins. He's an infallible. And we said the purpose of imams is to guide humanity. If they themselves are not 100% properly guided, how can they guide us? Number two, we said that there are levels of infallibility, right? We need to understand those levels. Number three, we said that there are certain reasons why certain human beings choose to sin. Now, if we were to say that the imams and prophets, they also have those tendencies and they follow their carnal desires, God forbid, to commit sins, then there's no difference between us and them. How can they be the guide and we are the followers? Number four, we said somebody who stops us from committing sins and let's say commit that particular sin himself. Then we would call that person to be a hypocrite. So if we were to assume that the imams, they sin, this means we are actually assuming that, God forbid, the prophets and imams are hypocrites, God forbid. The last but not the least, we said there are trust issues. If we don't know when the prophet or imam is lying, how can we trust their words? Now, there are certain few other arguments that I want to put forth really in this concise amount of time for you to ponder about. The first argument that I would like to pose is that an imam must, just like a prophet, have the station of purity, that is, be free of sin and error. Otherwise, he cannot lead and be a model for the people and receive the trust of society. If Allah is inviting us to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is inviting us to follow the imams, well, they better be perfect beings. If they're not perfect, how can we follow the imperfection? Argument number two, the imam must consume the heart and soul of the people and his commands be accepted without questioning. A person who has sinned can never receive such trust and from all points of view be trusted and confirmed, right? So if you look at what are we required to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says unconditionally to submit to the will of Prophet. Now, God forbid, if the Prophet, he was following his carnal desires, how can I, being a believer, a follower of Prophet, submit completely? It doesn't make sense. Argument number three, how can a person who in his daily life commit errors have his opinions be relied upon in the work of society and be followed without questioning? Think about it. Argument number four, doubtlessly, the prophet must be immaculate, and this quality is necessary for the imam as well, as we pointed out above. What I'm going over real quick here is the basis of Shia school of thought, the school of thought of the imams, the imama, or the school of thought we're commonly referring to as Shia. What is their belief based on? These are the arguments. Last but not the least, this can be proven in another way as well. That is the law of kindness, which the existence of the Prophet and Imam rely upon, requires the infallibility of the Prophet or the Imam, and the mission, which we pointed out in the previous lessons, will be incomplete otherwise. It won't be completed. So with this, we sum up our arguments, and the result of our arguments is that in Shia school of thought, the prophethood and imama both are divinely assigned and appointed roles by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person who is appointed at this position in a given point in time is considered to be infallible by Shias. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha.